Suicides. I took the job once. I got a job selling life insurance once because the guy whose book of business I took over blew his brains out and his daughter discovered him. Teen suicide, attempted suicide, people left in vegetative states because of this plague that's on our society. Broken homes? Are you kidding me? We used to have to take family information for people who, when I worked in the claims for auto accidents, we used to have to take family information of all the people that were in the car. And you'd have a carload of people with six kids and almost six different fathers. Broken homes. And none of the dads even living at home at that point. Kids who don't even know what it's like to have a real family, to have someone who loves them. Kids living out on the streets. And I'm not even talking going into the inner city. I'm talking Eastern Shore. What will it take? Is the church really having such an impact upon these people that we can sit back and pat ourselves on the back and say, wow, we are really moving for God? I don't think so. I'm terrified at what I see. And I cry out from the depths of my being, I know my God can save. I'm a living example. I know what He can do to a broken person in a broken home. I know the results He can bring. He is an amazing, powerful, incredible, wonderful God. And my heart breaks to see Him move upon this place and these people in such a way that these people are delivered and set free. Where the cutters no longer cut. And the anorexics no longer starve, and the alcoholics no longer drink, and the drug addicts no longer do drugs. And homes are put back together, and people are reconciled, and families reunite, and there is love and joy and peace and faith in that home. My heart aches for that. But this kind will not come forth except by prayer and fasting. We must lay a hold of this truth individually. As a church, absolutely, but individually, we must lay a hold of this with every fiber of our being. We must become God's prayer warriors, or we are going to be shaking our heads like the disciples year after year after year, saying, why couldn't we not cast this out in our generation? I am grateful. Please don't misunderstand me. I am grateful for the various productions that we have, the outreaches. I think the Princess Weekend is the most beautiful, wonderful, passionate thing that has come along in a while. I delight at this, the hearts of the ladies who are pouring themselves out for this, and I am expecting great things. I delight to see the warmth and the affection and the devotion to our young ladies to embrace them and raise them in the faith and disciple them and show them all those kinds of things. But when it comes to turning back the tides of darkness that chain and enslave our nation, this kind will only come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. In fact, Jesus said this kind can come out by nothing. Everybody say nothing. Say it again. Nothing. Say it again. Nothing. Nothing but prayer and fasting. You can spend your days working and pouring out, but this kind comes by nothing but prayer and fasting. We can have evangelistic crusades and go out into the streets and pass out tracts and have meetings and open-air preaching and singing of songs and giving out CDs. We can set up tables to witness at the county fair and go to every function that is happening on the Eastern Shore. But this kind comes out by what? Nothing but prayer and fasting. Our best efforts fall on the floor without prayer and fasting. We can become learned and brilliant in apologetics. And we are going to have a class, as a matter of fact, every Saturday morning. I can't wait for it to happen. I love apologetics, man. I'm an intellectual kind of man. I just love that kind of stuff. I like dig deep, man. Get into those arguments and philosophies and all that kind of stuff. Defending the faith, apologetics. We need apologetics. You know, if the church did its homework and we were skilled in apologetics, garbage like the Da Vinci Code would never have gotten out of the gate. It would have been slammed shut the moment they tried to put that thing out. And so we need apologetics. We need to know how to answer everyone who asks of the hope that's inside of us. We need to be able to explain persuasively why we have the hope that we do. But apologetics without prayer and fasting will not do anything. It will simply become an argument, an endless argument of words. As much as we need it and as much as I love it, when you think about the darkness and the powers of darkness that grip our nation to where you can't even turn on music on TV without it being dark and satanic and psychotic and neurotic, where I can open a music catalog that I get from the store that sells instruments, and every piece of clothing, every hat, and every t-shirt they sell is demonic. Pages of demonically labeled t-shirts and clothing. What is up with that? It's a guitar magazine, a guitar catalog. Does everything have to drip with blood? That is a power of darkness that has gripped our generation. That ought to be broken. It doesn't have to be that way. But unless the Church of God realizes that this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting, we will never break that stronghold in our generation. Walk through a CD store sometime. Well, they still have them before MP3s take over the market. Walk through a music store sometime that's full of CDs and just look at the labels. And if you are not disgusted by what you see, there is no limit to the depravity that is being poured into our children, into our adults. But this kind does not come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. We can have, I love our music ministry, man. I am on my face in gratitude that we can have the worship services that we do. And I love our Sunday services. And I know there was a time a couple years ago we sat almost every week and planned how we can have a better church, how we can make a better first impression when people come into the parking lot before they even pull in the building, how to make a good impression for them, how to greet them out the door, how to bring them in and knit them into small groups, and how to have discipleship, and how to train them, how to bond with them and have prayer and relationships with them, and how to build them. And all these things are good. They're good. They're necessary. I mean, that's discipleship. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're called to do. Revival hopefully will lead to discipleship. But as good as that is, as good as our Sunday service and our small groups and our children's church and all of our ministries are, when it comes to turning back the darkness that has gripped our nation that will take us down into the depths of hell, this kind comes out by nothing, nothing, nothing but prayer and fasting. Glory to God. Is anybody challenged by that? Man, I mean, it should be challenging. And sometimes it can be daunting, you know, to think. When we think about what we are up against, you know, and the results we've had and how much time we have left before who knows what, it can be very challenging. And I might be a little intimidated otherwise as far as seeing revival. If revival were strictly up to us, I don't know what I'd do. Thank God it's a sovereign move of God. Thank God I don't have to manufacture revival. Thank God I don't have to preach so loud and so long and so passionately that I have to manufacture this thing on my own. I cannot lift my pinky to bring about revival. That is a sovereign move of God, but I can pray. I can ask. I can prepare my heart so that when God is pleased to send it, this soil will be ready. And I believe that He answers the prayers of His people. I believe if His people cry out to Him and desire Him above everything else, and they want to see His glory, and they want to see His glory fall on this generation, that our God is faithful, He does not change, and as He has done in generations before, He will pour out His Spirit. He will pour out His power. He will pour out His glory. He will pour out His anointing. He will pour out His waves, His rivers, His oceans of revival on our generation. If we will humble ourselves and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways and cry out to Him, He will hear from heaven and will answer our prayers, and He will heal our land. And yes, I know that was to the nation of Israel, but our God does not change. We are His holy nation. We are His particular people. We are His special treasure. And if His people called by His name will cry out to Him, He will answer. He will answer. I was so encouraged in Montana. Man, we had prayer. It was so cool with the, you know, just driving down the highway. What do you do when you've got straight road for 3 hours? You know, 75 miles an hour. You feel like you're creeping along. What can a bunch of Christians do when they're in the car for 3 hours going down a straight road? Pray! Man, it was a brilliant revelation. Wow, why don't we pray? Okay, son of a gun. So we prayed going down the highway, going past, you know, groundhogs and prairie dogs and, you know, little bushes and cactuses and stuff endlessly. Every once in a while, a car might come in the opposite direction, so I had to make sure I kept my eyes open, you know. Couldn't just put it on cruise control and close my eyes and lift my hands, but we pray. Thank God, you know, and I was so encouraged because we were at, right after the wedding, Shiloh's father allowed us to stay for 2 days, Missy and I and Matt and Laura in his cabin, and his cabin is in the, It looks great in the daylight. We came up there at nighttime. We weren't really sure what we were getting into. He has this beautiful log cabin set at the foot of a mountain. And this mountain is among many mountains on this one side. And then when you sit and look out the window of the cabin, you look across these open prairies that just stretch out endlessly. And then there's more mountains on the horizon. And here and there, dotting the prairies, are these other little log cabins that people have. And it's beautiful there. And I was standing outside the car one morning. I was by myself. Everybody was in the house, in the cabin, doing stuff. I think I was getting something out of the car. And as I was standing there thinking about the Lord, a scripture just popped into my head. And it was the scripture from Acts chapter 10 when Cornelius, the Gentile, got saved. And the angel came to him. He and his family were there. They were devout. They did many wonderful things for the Jews. And he's a man of prayer. And an angel came to Cornelius. Shocked him, actually scared the guy. I guess I'd be scared too. This angel came in and he said, Cornelius, your prayers and alms have come up as a memorial before God. And that's the scripture that came into my heart that morning as I was standing there in the mountains. Your prayers and alms have come up as a memorial before God. Isn't that an awesome thought? That your prayers come into the very heaven of heavens amongst the presence of the angels as a memorial before God. That you're not just speaking into the wind. That our prayers are not just falling on deaf ears. They're not just falling on the ground. When our heart breaks for the things we see and the desire to see God move in a tangible, powerful way, and we cry out to Him, do you know your prayers come up as a memorial before God? I mean, they're just like incense. Look at the book of Revelation. They come up like incense. You can almost see the names swirling in the smoke. Sarah Largent, Heather Largent, Ginny Reedy, Virginia Reedy. Huh? Does he? Okay. Do you realize that it stopped me in my tracks when that scripture came into my mind? It was as if God was saying to me, John, rejoice. Be encouraged. Take Courage, brother. My son, your prayers are coming up as a memorial before God. They are not falling on deaf ears. And yes, when you cry out, your God hears and your God will answer. You just keep on praying. You just keep on crying out. And you cry out with confidence. You cry out with boldness. You storm the gates of heaven and you petition me and you sue me for grace. And you come to me and I will be delighted. I am going to answer those prayers. I will pour out in power. It's all in one is that scripture came into mind, that confidence, that encouragement. It's like God was wrapping his arms around me and saying, John, man, I love you so much. You keep praying. You keep praying because I'm listening. Your prayers are coming up like a memorial before me. And I want you guys to be encouraged because yours are too. When we come into this place or we come into our prayer closet, wherever we are, whether here or West Virginia or some other mountain place, you know, some city or some mountain or some suburb, when we cry out with passion to God and we say, God, we hunger for you. We thirst after you. Our God hears and his angels hear and he dispatches them with the answer. So let's pray. Man, let's continue to pray. Let's keep on praying. And let's pray boldly, with confidence, with passion, with expectation, because our God hears. He said nothing else will work. So pray. Don't worry about the other. Yeah, I mean, you know, we got stuff to do, but man, pray. Fast and pray. We talked about fasting a couple weeks ago. Anybody fast since then? Anybody do any fasting? Oh, wait a minute. Don't look. Close your eyes. Okay. I don't want to ruin it. Praise God. Man, it's thrilling. You know, I love food. I love to eat. I'm not particularly excited about giving up any meal. We were trying to think the other day of any kind of food that I don't like. And I said, if it fits on the plate, I'll eat it. I'm a man who likes to eat, but you know what? When I think of what fasting will do, when it brings me closer to God and focuses me so that I can come closer to seeing that blessing poured out, man, it's thrilling to fast. Oh, man, I can wake up and say, man, it's Wednesday. I'm going to fast and pray. Praise God. So let me say this. As we get ready, as the music ministry, if you guys want to come up here and let's close with this prayer, we lift you up. Our generation to see your glory fall. Let me encourage you with this. You don't need a degree from seminary. You don't need a massive, you know, you don't need to gather the church committee. You don't need the presbytery's approval. You don't need to get, you know, multitudes together, thousands of people together. If you can find yourself a place to pray, and if you will set your heart and mind and soul to do it, God will hear. He heard a guy named James McQuilkin over in Ireland. He heard a guy named Jeremiah Lamphere over in New York. They were not credentialed. They were not ordained. But they had a heart and a passion for God, and so they prayed. So if this is speaking to anybody today, you would love to see the living God move powerfully in your life on your generation. Don't wait for us. Just start praying. Don't wait. Someone else will come eventually, but just start praying. Set a time. Wednesday at noon, lunchtime, I'm going to pray for an hour. Find a closet somewhere. Find a field. Come to church if you want. The doors are open on Wednesdays. Find a men's room or a ladies' room if you're in the office that day. But whatever you do, don't miss this opportunity. God hears and he will answer. Pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.